Welcome to episode 138 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a coach at Runs PB, and I've also got a bit of an addiction to buying running socks. It's not a problem. It's just an addiction. I'm not looking to give it up. But anyway, that's how things are. As always, I'm joined by fellow Runner PB coach and the man who lifts the IQ of this show fairly significantly, Zachy Newman. How are you, mate?
Mate, talk about putting a sock in it with clients like that. You've lost your head there. I don't know. Don't know what's going on there with the intro. I think you just run out like 138 episodes. You're really scraping the barrel to come up with something new.
No, well, look. Sometimes you've just got to throw some things in there. Should add, may have purchased 2 or 3 new pairs of socks since we last spoke.
So, really.
Yeah. So yeah, okay. rather snazzy numbers, if I do say so myself.
Still the same brand, or you've
same brand. Still haven't managed to land.
I'm gonna have to reach out to them and see if we can get a collab going or a bit of a deal.
Well,
plugged them for 100 odd episodes. So probably due a pair.
In fairness, I think they look at me and say, look, you know, he loves our socks and that's cool, but he's got zero credibility as an athlete. So that's great that he keeps giving us his money. But we don't need you to advertise them. But
I'm going to see your name come up in the database. You know, this bloke spends like weekly, he's buying socks every week. We do them for free.
It's like I've got a monthly subscription, but instead of them sending them to me, I literally just jump online and order some more. But in fairness, they've just released a new, I guess it's a summer range because they're European. So they've got one shop in Australia that sells them. They're up in Queensland, and the people who, I think it's a lady that runs a shop up there.
Yeah.
Because I'd sort of been, I wouldn't say hassling or stalking. That's a bit of a strong term.
Sure,
it is. May have slid into the DMs and said, hey, look, just wondering, you know, what can you tell me? Got any photos of designs coming out or when they may be available? And they were really lovely and said, hey, look, as soon as we get some more info, we'll let you know. And it's sort of, I was sort of like, oh, you know, that's the, oh, don't call us, we'll call you. you know, the type of job interview that you're never going to get a response back from. But to their credit, just before they, I guess, got released in Australia, they sent me a message on Instagram and said, hey, look, we've just put them online if you want, because we don't have, I guess, a lot of stock. If you want some, jump online now. Once you put your order through, let us know, and then we'll get them all sent to you. And before we send all of our distributor emails out, because I'll probably go pretty quick, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. So, yeah, well, either they were lying to me and just wanted to take my money and sort of created a sense of urgency, because, mate, I fell for it. I certainly invested heavily in it. But, they did that. I bought myself a few pairs of socks just so that I didn't miss out. But to their credit, so I put that order in, it was probably around 4:30 that afternoon, and I had them the next day. From Queensland.
They just camped out the front of your house, and I know how many times it was.
just slipped them in the mailbox. But for those that have tuned into this episode of Sock Chat, that was it. So, but yeah,
I'm going to clip this, send it to them, and say, hey, you've just got a free ad for the last, you know.
Yeah, well, keep an eye on the Strava, because there might be a photo of some new socks tomorrow. And I did highlight a pair that I purchased recently on Monday as well. Nice. So, yeah.
Awesome, mate. You might be plugging the Boost Juice and the Gouda sunglasses trampolines and everything else soon.
Trampolines, Dinnerly. Look, Cliff Bars. Love a Cliff Bar.
A few athletes that plug them, but exciting times ahead, mate, for you in the world of influencing.
Yeah, if it's only if anyone actually gave a stuff about what I was doing. I've literally got no one to influence. So, I do like free stuff. Like lots of people, we do like free stuff. So if anyone wants to send me free things, that's cool.
We are talking about a bit of swagger, and we have got a guest that lights up the socials. He's been a regular feature in our, he was Hero of the Week back. I was looking at it, it was like episode 126. Hero of the Week. I guess if we were to release a calendar, he'd be Mr. January or something.
Oh, at least January, probably March.
Yeah,
and probably December as well. You want to finish off on a high, so this man graces the front and back cover.
Yeah, and he is going to be joining us, and he's going to have a chat about his running journey, which has been really exciting to follow. Obviously, someone who's pretty new to the sport, I think we're going to learn a bit more about it. But just from following him from afar, he's obviously Victorian based, so I've seen him. I've seen him in action, maybe at a track meet. I might have been at over a few years, but seeing him on Strava, and he's always pretty comical on there. So I think it'll be a good chat. Hearing about his running. So that's our guest that's popping in about 20 minutes.
No, looking forward to it. Hopefully a few laughs tonight too. I've got a good feeling about this one, mate. It's going to be good fun.
Training wise, mate, before our guest arrives, you want to give us a bit of an update, because looks like you knocked out about 70 odd k's.
70 k for the week. The temptation here is to just go and talk about how well Anna's going at the moment, but she'll belt me if I do that, so we'll park that for a minute. But 70 k's for me, nothing that I'd sort of hang my hat on and go, hey, yeah, look, this is really killing it this week. I think it was just a good solid week. 70 k's session. So Thursday session, three sets of 3-2-1 minutes with a minute jog recovery. Did the 3-minute efforts at 10K and the twos and the ones at 5K. So I think for the session all up, a bit over 7Ks, average 3:49. Felt pretty good through the session. I was able to switch between the 10K and the 5K efforts pretty well and keep them consistent. So it was a bit of a flow-on effect from the previous week's session. Probably wasn't quite as strong, but I think, you know, we're sort of splitting hairs. I don't think I'd look at the session and really pick any faults. I think we're kept within the effort ranges and felt genuinely strong through the body, which was good.
Have you done that session a fair few times over built?
It is one that I've done a few times, and I enjoy it. I think just the short changes between reps, the different paces, it's a bit of fun for me. So, yeah.
Andy's... Look at the average. Does it something come up and go, or do you kind of just move on? You haven't been comparing that session to previous.
Oh, God, no. I couldn't even tell you the last time that I did it or what sessions that I did, because I think if I was more numbers focused in what the splits were, I definitely would have, but in this instance, you know, I guess for me, my sessions really are just trying to work within an effort range and whatever numbers happen to come out that day. The big thing is we just want to feel strong through the session, and that's what happens. So anytime I get through that and pull up feeling good, that's a win. So
good that you've got that, you're in that mindset, you know, and that can change over time. I don't know if it ever does for you, but
yeah,
certain workouts which you do regularly, that it's very easy to get into the trap and comparing it to previous, and you're just indifferent. Oh, it's fine. It's just you're never doing the session in the same in the same position. Like, there's always something different about it when you approach a session. So
I think we're probably, when I was more wholly and solely focused on PBs, it's probably something I would have done a lot more and sort of gone back, found the last one, and looked at it before the session. Whereas now it's probably, I might go back and look at it after the session and then compare the two and go, oh, cool, that's interesting. Sort of having a look at it on that level. But by and large, I think, I'm just happy to be running and be being mostly pain-free. I think, and it's a different perspective, because I think you know, even I probably look at it more now as I'm Anna's training partner as opposed to me getting out there and, you know, for my own, I guess, physical benefit. Like, it's definitely for the mental benefits, but the physical ones is really, hey, let's bank a session, let's use this, let's stack a week, let's build a month, all of that sort of stuff. And like, for example, Anna's session, she ran 8x400 with a 200 float into a 10-minute threshy. And like, she's going super well at the moment. It's probably, you know, just trying to keep a lid on things. But it's funny, like, we've joked previously on other episodes where, like, you know, she's genuinely got some leg speed now. And the first, so we've started together and I've let her go, right, okay, you count us down, you kick us off. So here we are lined up, and I don't know, normally I'd kick us off, but anyway, she's sort of counted us down, 3, 2, 1, we're off. And we're about 100 metres down the road, and I'm like, shit, she's already dropped me by 5 or 6 steps. And I'm like, hang on, you're meant to be running a 400 at 5K effort, and I'm meant to be running, it's like 3 minutes at 10K.
10K effort, yeah.
I should probably still be in front. And she was way out, like, well, not way out, but, you know, far enough. And I'm like, geez. And she was getting quicker. Literally getting quicker, and I've looked down at my watch and I actually had to pull back. I was going too quick, something. Oh, yeah, God, you're flying. And I've called out, like, oh, hey, I think we finished doing strides a few minutes ago. And she just laughed at me. And yeah, probably didn't, just relaxed a little bit. But yeah, I think that first sort of 200 meters, she was running sort of 310, 312s, and just made it look not effortless, but just real smooth. We both acknowledged early on that. Well, sorry, at the end of the session that, yeah, look, you did get out a bit hard, and that may have been why you felt a bit of lactic buildup in the sort of 5th or 6th 400. But, yeah, it's just cool to see it doing well. So,
what's she got next?
Great Ocean Road 23K in, yeah, about a month from now in May. So, and more with a focus around just going and doing it as a strong effort as opposed to really chasing a PB. It's sort of one of those ones where wants to go and have a, you know, a pretty solid run, but it'll be not sort of a 10 out of 10 effort. Like, she wants to get back into her running and sessions and that sort of thing straight away. So the compromise from that is just to have a not quite bury myself effort. So, yeah, that's kind of the focus at the moment. It's just running because it's a lot of fun as opposed to it being performance driven for her. But, yeah, she's doing well, which is cool. But, yeah, that night, like, I wasn't really planning to run a double, but Thursday got a message from one of SOS athletes, Laura Curlin, who lives about sort of 45, 50 minutes away, being keen to come over to Shep to, I guess, have people to run with, because Laura, where she lives, pretty isolated. She's just got lots of straight lines to run, and it's usually by herself. So, yeah, I was keen for a bit of running company, meet some new people, meet a few of, I guess, my run to PB athletes as well. So Laura came over and, yeah, sort of did a few Ks with her. She's a legend. I think SOS definitely got a good athlete there. Laura just couldn't speak highly enough of SOS. That was really cool, sharing a few stories and having a few laughs and just sort of hearing about what her running journey's been like and, yeah, what she's got on for the rest of 2023. So she's hoping to make it over to a few of our Tuesday night sessions so she can actually do a bit of faster running with the group as well. So,
bit of Botan action?
Yeah, well, we did. We did do a loop, which it was pretty much pitch black dark for the most of it. And I didn't take a head torch. Laura didn't bring one and couldn't see a lot. So
is it smooth through there? Like, is it?
On the sealed path it is. If you're not on the sealed path, it's a bit average underfoot. And we sort of got there and you could just sort of see, I'd say maybe visibility was about 10-15 meters. I said, I can't, I'll show you what our hills are, because Laura's got no hills at Corrup where she's from. So it took her up there and showed her the hill, and that was pretty cool. And yeah, it's like, I sort of thought I might head out for 10 or 15, 20 minutes and give her a bit of an indication where to run, but end up doing a full loop, which was further than I anticipated, end up being about 9K for me. Right. And that on top of the session in the morning, that's a big day for me. And it was too big for me. I actually pulled up really tired and a bit sore from that. And even, like, we jogged and kept it super easy, but 20 minutes was really probably the max that I should have run. But yeah, because my Laura had a 75 minute run on her plan, so yeah, we got the best part of 50 minutes done together. And then where we were sort of running from, like, we got back to the footy oval in Kyala, and she did a few loops of the oval and joined the, or did a few strides and met a few of the group, which was really cool. And yeah, she had a ball, so she's going to come back over for a few Tuesdays every now and then. And our first night at our new oval, which was good. So
new oval.
Yeah, no, we were at Princess Park last year, which got flooded out. So
That's right. I remember the photos. You had the kayak crew in there.
Sort of coming up to the roof. But
No,
we've got a new home for the foreseeable future, because Princess Park still hasn't been fixed up and we're not allowed down there. So, we're sharing some facilities with the Goulburn Valley Umpires Association for footy.
Oh, mate, you might get talked into running the boundary.
100% not happening. We've had that conversation. I recognise some of the umpires from my cricket days. So, there's a few conversations being had, and I've gone, no, sorry. Oh, no.
Think of the socks, mate. You get the yellow socks.
Yeah, it's not doing it for me. And I've sort of said, look, I get abused at work enough during the week without sort of needing to get abused on weekends for my hobby. So, so we'll give that one a miss. And then look, long run on Saturday was really unglamorous. You talk about those long runs that you just want to get them done.
Mm.
Look, it was 22K, average 505s. I felt tired and heavy right from the go. Poor Anna had to drag me around, and I just slowed her down, which in hindsight was probably great for her, because she got a bit of an easy day at the office. But, yeah, I just felt crap. And it was a flow-on effect from just doing too much.
Yeah,
on the Thursday. So got through that. It was pretty, I wouldn't say exhausted, but I did feel pretty average after that. So I had 70Ks in the legs by the time Saturday rolled around. And I think by the time I'd driven back home, I'd made my mind up that I'm having a rest day on the Sunday. So I took Sunday off and then bang, back into it Monday. Made the world a difference having a rest day.
Mm.
Wasn't something that I wanted to do, but deep down knew it was the right thing. And yeah. Felt really good. So Monday, Tuesday this week, back to action, feeling good. Looking forward to a session tomorrow.
That just that Easter long run, you say it dragged it. You still, it's funny, your first K is still pretty similar to what you run through the whole run.
Yeah. And look, that really is, because we literally do.
You do your activations and stuff,
we do drills on the road for a good sort of 5, 6, 7 minutes together.
Oh, before your long run.
Before any of our runs.
Yeah, well,
whether it's a 30-minute shakeout or long run or a session, we always start with drills.
More professional than me, mate.
Anna's a big fan and a convert to the drills. So it's certainly what she credits a lot to helping her with her sort of faster leg turnover. And so we just make it a rule that before we start, we just go and do our drills for a few minutes. And it's we literally just do them in the middle of the road in Kyala. No one can see us, so there's no fear of judgment from the neighbours.
Yeah. But you're starting that out in front of your house? In between, you kind of meet in the middle or?
No, so we've got a meeting point, which is just around from where she lives, and it's right down basically a main road of Kyala in the housing estates there. So you get a few bikes and the man delivering the newspapers, so just need to get off the road because you don't know what side he's coming down. But it's the drills, that's the reason. Otherwise our first 10 or 15 minutes would feel pretty average, I reckon.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm pretty much coming out of a car. I maybe once a week, not even once. I can go 2 weeks where I don't run from home. Mm-hmm. I'm coming back from work or driven somewhere. So I think it'd be different if I was to start from home. I could probably incorporate some drills and do that. Different session days, because we'll do a real easy run and then stop and do some drills. But easy runs, I've sometimes been sitting in the car for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, you pretty much park and get out and start. And that's why my that's why I was just like, wow, you get out the gates at 508s and you're still sitting in there at, you know, middle of the run at 508s, whereas some of mine, I can roll a 5 minute first K, or, you know, I think it was a 5:20 or something last week. It's really tired. And then get down to 450s, 440s. So it's just an interesting, when you are a bit more ready to go, I think it definitely helps.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Nice.
What about you, mate? How's your last 7 days been?
Yeah, I'll quickly just because we got Liam not far off. What have I been up to running wise? Got 100K in last week.
Hey, cracked the ton.
Yeah,
hello.
Raised the Garmin. I reckon that was, I'm trying to look back and like, this driver's gone a bit nuts here, but I'm trying to see when the last time I did 100 was, because it was 101. And if I look back, I reckon it,
it's in January. Around wellness run, it was close.
Yeah, even January, 98.4 in Jan. I don't reckon I've been over 100, 99.2 back in end of November. So around that wellness time, I'll probably put together a month of a month around that 95 to 99 Ks. So it's been a build from, I think, a couple of weeks ago, I was at 85, 94, and then 101. And I think obviously having the race, the race is starting with gels in a couple of weeks, and the body, and I guess get things going with the body, the knees, it's still there. Like it's getting a little bit better, and it's just a slow process, but I'm doing more Ks and putting more through it. I had two sessions last week, and it's going to get, it's going to be sore. I'd love to be able to warm up, run and not feel it on every step. That's the goal. But that'd be amazing. I just think back, I'm like, how did I forgot what it's like to not have this. But in saying that, and not to whinge and moan about it, because it's probably everyone's sick of it, but it's feeling like I can get to, it's almost like in the last few weeks, that feeling on every step was a 4, it's now maybe a 3.
Okay, so that's progress.
Take that. Even just pulling up a little bit better. So you just take those small wins. And when I'm in a session, I still feel it, but it's not as much because I think I'm concentrating more, I'm hurting more. I'm probably just trying to hang on, you know, so you can kind of focus. But when you're doing the easy runs and every step, and if we're, and I'm running with people 90, you know, nearly all runs, so I'm chatting away, but it's still lingering in the background. It's like, it's still there. And then you might get a couple of steps, you're like, oh, it's gone. And then that's it, you know. But in saying that, you know, if you get through more Ks and sessions and it's not going backwards, in fact, it's going slightly in the right direction. I'll see James again over at PhysioLife on Friday for some more. He's got, you know, he's going to look at these exercises he's given me. I think did I send you those? I think I did.
I've seen some of the, there's the squats. It hasn't quite progressed to any parkour just yet.
So maybe I'll get another, I'll send you a bit of an update and you can see if there's any progression, because I know James was just pissing himself. No. Just go, mate, we've got a lot of work to do, but we're heading in the right direction. So I'll get a bit more of an assessment of that. And
that's right. Well, me and Soph can put our 10 cents worth in as well, mate. You just send that through and we'll give you some good feedback.
So I hit a session on Saturday. It was a 15-minute, 2-minute, 7. So 15-minute at 10K effort. So that was like, it's still a pretty solid one. So 15 minutes at 10K effort, which is around, I reckon we're in 35 minute shape. It's a bit of a guessing game. So thought 3:30 is a good spot to try and hold it, given that the 5 minute reps we did about 2 weeks ago were running 3:30. So it was more like, let's see if that's closer to, you know, where we're at. and then a 2 minute recovery into 7 minutes at 5K effort. So it was a chance to kind of have a little bit of a reset and then practice pushing on a bit in that 7 minutes down to 320s. And yeah, it felt good, felt pretty good. Like I felt like I was able to be under in control for those 15. It was still hard, but it wasn't like I've spoken about previously. I'd get to, you know, the back end of a session and it was really sort of fatiguing. I think it's just the overall fitness is kicking in. You know, doing more, obviously more volume, and I've now got a couple of 90-minute runs in the bank and out to, you know, hitting 60 minutes regularly. Like all those just extra miles sort of really helped for me on a strength end. And yeah, so 334 is average. So I, you know, I think now we've got a park run. We've got our MUAC season launch, or we'll do a park run. We do a 5K trial, like a park run down at Princess Park. So just to try and help select the teams. So I think I could break 17 minutes. So that's the goal. I think, you know, Albert Park was 17, was it 17:15 or 17:10? So geez, but I mean, you know, I was going, you know, I think that I was going probably better then, but I didn't execute it. I think I'm not quite as fit, but I think I could still, I think I could still get down to that like low 17s or under 17. I think that'd be a great starting point.
Yeah.
For the season, and then, you know, roll on to Gels, roll on to Albert Park, and, you know, we'll be on the road to hopefully something at Gold Coast, I think.
Yeah. Do you reckon the strength's improved since Albert Park?
I reckon it has. Yeah. I think I've got. Yeah, I think it has. Like, I think the last 3 weeks is probably I've turned the corner. You know, yeah. If I look at the blue bar, like, there's been, it's been consistent, but I haven't, I had a big block in there. I was sort of just teetering with the knee, just sitting at 80K and not doing sessions. Whereas now I've been able to put the sessions in, and that sort of brought me forward. So,
yeah,
it'll be fun to just, it'll be good to just see where I'm at. You know, I might come out and run 17:40 and you go, well, okay. This is where you're at. And, you know, because you do these sessions and you think you're in that form, but until you do them, until you actually put it out there and go through the, you know, the act of not having recoveries, you know, I've done a lot of sessions where you get the 2 minute break, or you get a, there's something about throwing yourself in a race situation that, yeah, that will test you. So, yeah, well, it'll be. We'll see what happens on Saturday. And then, yeah, again, Gels, like that into another week of workouts into a Gels. Like that's a good 4 week block of Ks and a few hard hit outs.
Absolutely, mate. Well, I reckon, you know, you bank another couple of sessions this week into Gels, maybe a recovery week after that, and then bang, Albert Park's here, 10K.
Yeah, well, we'll be Gels Park, mate, we'll have a bit more of an idea of my form next week, and then we can see where you're sitting team-wise, because, well, hopefully we can line up on a similar leg.
Yeah, hoping to find, mate, depends on if I get selected, but that's another story for another time. Depth is good at Bendigo this year. I'd just like to throw out there.
Yeah, well, mate, there's the transfer window is still open if you want to have a chat afterwards.
Yeah,
checkbook out.
Oh, mate, I might be giving away. I don't think anyone needs a checkbook for my services. But no, by this time next week when we catch up, we'll both know what's happening. In terms of what grade and where and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, watch this space.
Joining us this week on the Better With Running podcast is our special guest. It's a Run to BB athlete. For those who listen regularly, you would have heard this name, I reckon, on Around the Ground segment quite a bit. He signed up in September 2021. He's since debuted in the marathon. He's knocked out a 2:47 at Melbourne. He's gone on the track, taking his PB from 16:32 to 16:07. He's hit the trails as well with a big debut at the Two Bays. I think off the back of that, he was crowned the hero of the week. And we're going to hear a bit more about this man, a rising star of Run to BB. Welcome to the show, Liam Beecroft.
Thanks, Zaka. Pleasure to be here. And yeah, thanks for having me on and represent the common man or the common people of the running community, I guess, after heard the high caliber people you've had on in the past. So nice to be on.
Definitely worthy, mate. And Chriso and I were very excited when you accepted our offer, because we thought, you know, there might have been a media ban in place off the back of your work at the Track Classic, the Tiger Five, which we'll get to a bit later, and some of your results this season.
Yeah, no, they're probably a media ban, as I said, after this, but should be all right to go today.
No, that's right, mate. It's a steam company too. I mean, joining us, you know, we've had Andy Buchanan, Kate Avery, and Mitch Dyers regularly in, and just, you know, to get you on, mate, it's a privilege. We've been trying for a couple of weeks. We've gone through some publicists, and you know, it's been tough to get you on, but here we are, and we're very much looking forward to tonight. Zach has put a lot of work into his research and got some good questions there. So,
right, I promise not to drop as much F-bombs as Mitch does. So, should be all right in that department too.
No, it's poor old Zach has had a monstrous job editing out, and that's just the stuff that goes to air. So, you can only imagine the stuff that gets cut. So.
There was another. Actually, I was going to mention that we're big fans. Is it? My athlete, James Telford, he was out at the Tiger Five, and he's going to be as pumped to hear this, because he was sending me photos of you at the race. And he's like, oh, Liam's here. And I'm like...
A little creepy, because he didn't say, come and say hello. I've got him on Strava as well, and we comment on each other's runs. So it's a bit creepy that he was taking photos
and
not
having a chat.
I've got
all these photos of you. And I'm like, what is going on here? Let's kick off and hear about your running journey, mate, because I did mention 2021, we got the sign-up form. I think you put on there you were keen to attempt your first marathon at Melbourne, which was happening in December that year. I think you mapped out your current training program, but you were open to trying coaching for the first time. Were you actually into running as a kid, or did this... Was this a lockdown type setup? What's the go?
I wasn't into any kind of, I guess, more formal running. I think I did a little laths as a kid for the Redbacks. I don't know if anyone knows about them as a kid, but wasn't that good. Just really learned the system early that if you get a PB, you get a lolly or a jelly bean. So don't try too hard too early. And then you can get a jelly bean or a lolly every single week. So I learned that from an early age. But pretty rubbish at athletics. Pretty grew up football, basketball, pretty rubbish at those. Bit of king of preseason, two-time trials, all of that work. And then as soon as the season started, absolutely rubbish. So I kind of gave that away a bit, just with studying for uni, trying to work part-time, trying to pay rent. It's just too hard to commit to the commitments of football, really. So got into gym, because that was one thing that you could kind of do whenever you wanted. There was no set schedule. You didn't have to rock up Tuesday, Thursday night, Saturday mornings like football. Then tore my bicep, actually, funnily enough, like ripped it off the bone on the tendon, had to get a surgery and all of that. Was in a cast for ages because was doing a deadlift and tore that. And I thought, well, maybe trying to be a powerlifter and or powerlifter exercises and being a gym bro ain't for me either. So just started running once a week, twice a week, three times a week. Again, shocking at it as well. I'd probably run 4K, stop for like 5 minutes, run 4K back just to begin with, and then just built it back up again. And then, yeah, COVID happened and there was no gym or no anything else really. So went from 2-3 days a week to 4 days to 5 days to six. And then that was, yeah, the start of kind of COVID and all around the COVID time. And then things were starting to open up again. So I was listening to a few podcasts, doing a bit of research on running, and like I was doing my own sessions, like two sessions a week and a long run, but probably, again, doing them stupidly. So just kind of guessing and just going at it. So, saw the Melbourne Marathon was coming up and I thought I'd like to get a bit of coaching and see how it all goes. And, Josh Harris, my coach, and I haven't really looked back since at all.
Speaking of Josh, mate, it's been a fabulous partnership so far, coming up a couple of years. But what have you learned from the great man? What are some of the teachings and the wisdom that you've really sort of hit home? Because I can imagine coming from a footy background and then into the gym, like, and it's a lot more, I guess, a work of an intense nature. Whereas running, you don't sort of your sessions are hard work and that sort of thing. But for the most part, the effort's sort of easy. How have you found that adjustment, and what's Josh sort of passed on that's really helped you?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, I guess, being coached by Josh, but not knowing how other athletes are with their relationship with their coaches and so forth as well. But I've, always had respect to people who have a lot more knowledge and skills and understanding and a certain expertise, whether it's uni, work related, like your bosses and so forth, but even running as well. Josh can see if I'm lying here or not, but I've pretty much just stuck to a T at everything that he's kind of set out and planned, whether it's certain paces to hit in workouts. I've always taken my easy days easy. I'm a slow old man inside this 28 year old body of mine, so I take a while to get going, and I don't think I ever get going in those easy runs either. So start to feel good in the last 2 minutes, and then it's 50 minutes is up and I've stopped. So it's definitely taking everything on board. I think we've got a pretty easy kind of coaching relationship, myself and him. I wouldn't consider myself a high maintenance athlete. I think I just, he sets up the week. I do it after a workout. I'll just say, felt good, felt rubbish. Legs heavy towards the end of a session, or not, felt strong throughout. So I pushed the pace a little bit and so forth. And as I said, it's been working well for the better part of a year and a half.
Mate, I can imagine back in the gym days, you would have looked at the treadmill and maybe looked at people on the treadmill, just shook your head and just lifted a few more weights, did it?
Yeah, it was probably a 5 minute walk warm up before a leg session or something like that, but never bothered to get the kilometers up on the treadmill. I think I was about maybe at peak, probably 20, 25 kilos heavier than I am now. So we've come a long way.
Yeah. Mate, if you go back into the archives on Instagram, I think you were plugging some protein powder with the tops off and the curves.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that was my mum owns Curves Killscythe. So okay. She had a bunch of out-of-date protein powder and she just handed them all to me, and I was just taking the piss a bit, like I do on most things. Yeah.
now you're the Morton poster boy.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, you've linked up with a few groups. So you've got the program and you've been able to sort of now link in. Do you do some stuff with the AMPM guys down in Collingwood? Or I know Connor Dillon seems to pop up on your
staff. Yeah, Mr. Mileage, Mr. Melbourne himself.
The beast, one of the best who I see absolutely tearing the pavement apart in Melbourne. But it must be good to, obviously learn these workouts and now get in and jump in with and do some workouts with like-minded athletes. And how are you finding that?
Yeah, sessions? I mean, pretty much obviously with COVID and that, and then getting into running, you kind of do everything solo, obviously, because you have to, because you weren't allowed to hang out with anyone. So I guess, I moved into the area in a northeast like a year and a bit ago, and rocked up on a Tuesday or a Thursday to do a track session. There's 20 other people doing circles around you. You run past them 100 times in an hour because you're all doing laps, and you just you say good day, say hello, get into a bit of a chat, and then it stems from there. So there's a few of them down there from that AMPM run crew that I just dabble in a few workouts with when I can, or we do separate ones at the same time, or done a couple long runs here and there. But it's always makes things a bit easier when there's other people around you with similar goals and ambitions as well.
And this season, we talked about the marathon earlier in the piece with you cracking the, obviously running the big 247, but then you've gone this season, looks like you've hit the track and had a bit of a season with the Tiger 5 that was end of March, but started back at Box Hill Burn. And you, was that the debut over the 5K on the track?
Yeah, so I'd only done a few halves. Did the Melbourne Marathon when I first kind of signed up with Josh and got the 247 high. Then I did Great Ocean Road just for a bit of fun. I didn't really do a marathon build for that. We just kind of hit a few decent long runs and kept up with the sessions and that, and gave that a crack, which was good fun. And then I probably got injured around July last year, just a bit of foot tendinopathy issues going on. So that kind of derailed the Melbourne Marathon for October last year. I did the half because I could gear up for that, but the trying to do a marathon block in 6 weeks of running was just a bit too ambitious. And then, yeah, this year I just kind of thought, try something different. Just get used to doing something that you're not familiar with and not comfortable with. So gave the trails a crack. That was a bit of fun. And then, I just said to Josh, oh, I'd like to just have a go at some 5Ks. See what they're all about, and if I like them, I'll give them a crack. So yeah, first one was a beautiful Box Hill Burn at 10 p.m. at night in the men's F race. So it was 10 degrees. It was pissing down. It was like, I was like, track's not for me. I'm not. As a man that runs at 6 a.m. every morning, just like, this ain't for me. This is 8 hours till I have to run again the next day, and I'm running around doing laps at the Box Hill. But it was good fun. I had no idea really what to do. Asked a few people around me, anyone want to go for some low 16 minute for the 5K? Everyone was like, nah. And I was like, all right, fair enough. And then so I just was like, all right, I'll go out and see if I can, I'll go out at the pace of to get low 16s, which is like 3:15 or something, see how I go. And turns out you can't time trial a 5K, and absolutely, I didn't blow up. I just couldn't kick down for the
there's a few first 2Ks,
and then so I look like, I watched back the footage a bit because they filmed it, and God, I look like I was struggling. So didn't deter me too much, but got a PB on the board because it was my first one at 16:34 or something. Signed up to the Pulse one. That was coming off the back of being away for a week, so didn't really have high expectations of what I'd get out of it. But those runs were, they had a pacer. So I was kind of paced more correctly in that group. And I just thought, I got to sit behind someone or a group of people and not do any work and see how it feels to run a 5K at the back of a pack or anything like that, and then try and finish strong rather than the complete opposite of what I did at Box Hill. So that was another, learning curve as well. Just kind of found my spot in a pack. I wasn't, after I finished the run at there was about 25 people in the race and I came 20th, but absolutely didn't matter at all. I was just trying to focus on a bit of more tactical running and came away with 16:20. And that felt good. I, as I said, didn't really do too much work. So I felt, all right, if I can get 16:20, I can probably dip towards the closer to the 16 minute at the Tiger 5.
I was going to say, you talked about, you just sort of played around a bit of tactics. Are you a competitive man? Is a bit of white line for you? I know you like to have a joke in it, but once the gun goes, do we see beast mode come out and with a few elbows getting thrown around, or will you just
get out there? Absolutely not. I will, during half marathons, I'll chat to you. During marathons, I'll chat to anyone who wants to listen. Similar with not with the 5Ks because I can barely breathe, let alone talk. But I'm pretty chill with it. I think everyone's out there to race, but you're essentially trying to race yourself and just give yourself the best result. So if we're all kind of working together for that goal, if we're in a group or a pack and we're all helping each other out, then that's all there is to it, really.
That's a great attitude. Because you are taking it pretty, you know, you're obviously taking it a lot more serious than when you probably thought you got into running off the back of the gym and stuff. And now you're out there, you're old into the Tiger 5000. And was that in the, might have been the B race, was it? So it's pretty high caliber field. Finished 16:07.
Yeah. No, that was a B race. Bit more appropriately timed. I think I was on at 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night compared to the 10 p.m. So, no, that was good. I thought I was like 1K in. I was like, this is brilliant. This is awesome. I'm in a great pack. And then we all just kind of split Congo line 5-10 meters apart. And there was just five of us all doing as much work as each other. So it kind of strung out a bit. And I just thought, well, I'm here now. I just got to grit my teeth and go and hang on. So I just did that. Got to work, kept trying to keep the pace up. Obviously on the track, your watch is completely out and I've got no idea how to look at a timer and figure out my 400 meter splits or what my K reps are and so forth. So I was just kind of going off effort. And I thought, this is the hardest I've ever ran. So I must be running pretty fast. And then, yeah, with the bell, I just kind of was like, all right, we'll try and send it a bit. Felt like I was flying, but, probably was running backwards, but managed to get 16:07. So pretty chuffed with that, considering the kind of work I had to do within the 5K to get that result. Okay, and that was coming off the back of, I think, like 10 days after run for the kids or something. So that's pretty pleased with that.
Big march.
So been busy.
Yeah, with a track season under the belt, mate, does that sort of fire the hunger up for next year to have another crack at it?
Yeah, I think the fact that I didn't get under 16 puts a bit of fire in the belly. I think some of my training indicates on a good day, perfect conditions, perfect pack, perfect group, and so forth, I could get just under maybe 16. So, you know, maybe after the next 6 months of 7 months of training and running, that'll become a bit easier come maybe next summer.
Might have to see if we can get a Tiger 5 at maybe like 7 a.m.
Yeah, I've said that to so many people. I'm like, if we can just, why are they on at night? Morning every races, other distance race is on in the morning. Brilliant, perfect, no change of routine. Come the 5Ks, I'm having breakfast for dinner and I'm having my dinner for lunch. And just trying to trick the body a bit.
Yeah. No, I like it, mate. So you've been doing some races for the last couple of years, and as you said, a bit of a mix of trails, roads, a bit of track. But what's probably been your favourite running experience over the last couple?
I can tell you my least favourite, probably the same as Zaka, did the wellness run. And
well, you finished it though, didn't you?
Yes, but I my soul left my body at the 8K mark and I just kind of floated on through. So I feel you there. That was torture. That was absolutely torture.
That was hot.
Yeah. And the worst part was you were cooked in like the first 5 or 6 K, but it was two loops. So you run past the finish line and you're like doing the half. You're like, I've got to go this again. And it was just... Yeah,
not a great name for that event, really, off the back of how you feel about it. Yeah. Particularly for me, but yeah.
It wasn't ideal.
Unwell.
But in terms of favourites, I don't know, first marathon's always a good one. That was a good experience. But same thing, I never ran past 37K. So when I did that, just my legs fell apart. But probably my favourite was Great Ocean Road, the full marathon there. Just, it was a perfect day. Beautiful conditions, just the undulating hills and the wide open spaces. It was it was beautiful.
You think running Great Ocean Road a little bit easier, mate, probably allowed you to enjoy that a bit more?
Running it a bit easier?
Yeah.
Oh, it was torture, I think because I wouldn't recommend this for anyone trying to do a marathon, but I think because it wasn't like a kind of race for me. And Josh and I didn't do, you know, a solid 12 week marathon block, and there wasn't all that pent up any anxiety or pressure on trying to perform. We were just like, oh yeah, we'll give this a go, this is a bit of fun. And obviously I was still conditioned for it, but there wasn't that massive kind of internal build-up that I guess runners might have when they're trying to gear up for an event. So just got to enjoy it for what it was, a beautiful run.
What's on the bucket list, mate? If we could give you a you know, blank check, go anywhere in the world, jump in a race, get you the entry, where would it be?
God. I don't know. I probably, well, if you can, I'm yet to book flights for Gold Coast in July. So if we can arrange that.
I'll get Brady. Yeah, Brady will get the check.
Accommodation's booked. I've just got to organise the flights. But I guess, yeah, I don't know. Everyone seems to do Valencia and those types of races in Europe. But the start line scare me. The sheer amount of people is just, that's the one thing I hate about mass participation events, just the sheer amount of people that are at a start line. I think for Melbourne half last year, I was like 2,000 people deep, and it was chaotic. So if you can just get me a ticket to the elite level at the right at the start of the race, that for any race, I'll do that.
We'll get you just with Kipchoge, and you guys can just have the V formation going. He can pace you.
Sounds perfect.
Hey, you mentioned, you know, obviously getting onto the track and getting involved with the event, with some of these local events. And coming from outside of the sport, I guess, from the gym and footy, and I know you're a big fan of Inside Running podcasts and following the sport. How, from an outsider's perspective, Chris and I have been in it for a while now. Is there some things that you're sort of, I guess, fall in love with, but also some things that you just don't even add up to you because you've just gone, well, hey, why is it done like this? Or are there some things that you'd like to see that could be improved in the sport from your perspective?
From a purely a race perspective?
Yeah, like race and just even the way the sport's covered and, you know, what you're seeing.
Yeah, I think all the track rates have been very well managed on an elite level from the Box Hill Athletic people and the Richmond Harriers as well. The coordination and the timing of the events and everything has been great. And everyone's, as I said, everyone's there for the right reasons. Everyone's trying to just run and have a bit of fun. So I think that appreciation just for the volunteers and the people that put their effort into organizing those events, those people at the drink stations for the half marathons and marathons you do, they're always trying to smile and hand out water. And I try my best to thank them, whether it comes out verbally or not while I'm trying to huff and puff. I'm not sure, but I think, yeah, the volunteer perspective is great with mass participation events on that spectrum. But in terms of, I don't know, changing, it's just hard. I think it doesn't have the coverage that your big sporting bodies have. It doesn't have the infrastructure. Well, it does have the infrastructure really, but as you do little athletes, you might do club athletics and then that's it. You kind of stop. There's not, unless you're in the top echelon of 2% of people, that's it. You just kind of then do it at a club level. And I think, you know, with athletes kind of coming up the ranks, if you, most people, not me, but you know, if you're good at running and you're good at other sports, you know, you've got the option to choose, all right, do I make it in a team sport, or do I try and commit to running, which is unfortunately not something that is financially viable. So it's trying to, I guess that's the other discussion, trying to change it from the ground up really. But it's tough.
Yeah, and I just thought it was interesting from someone who probably wouldn't have pictured themselves running along, doing, you know, a 30K run, listen to a running podcast. And hearing about results and hearing about, you know, that real sort of that, I guess, a subculture that is probably hidden away, that once you're in it, you just can't get enough of hearing more about it. And I think, hearing your perspective on that. So thank you. Mate, Chriso's got a few quick fire questions. I reckon he's going to send your way.
Got a few lined up here for you, mate. And you can answer these just in one word if you want. If you want to give us some context, you can, we'll leave that option open, but otherwise we'll make them short and sharp. So first, mate, Garmin or Chorus watch?
Garmin.
Yep. iPhone or Android?
Android.
That's okay. There's no judgment here on this show. So. No, it's okay. We appreciate the honesty. Half tights or splitties, mate?
I've never owned a pair of half tights, actually. I want to try them out, but splitties.
Yep. No, it's okay. Track, road, or trails?
For races?
Up to you.
Races, road, training, track, trail, easy runs, long runs.
Mm-hmm. Singlets, on or off?
You'll have to ask Connor Dillon about this, but he always makes fun of me for ripping the kit off. But I swear at training sessions, I'm never the first one. I always wait until someone initiates and then I'll
we are doing this via Zoom. The camera's on. You've got your top off already.
keep it on and I'm always tucked in.
Yeah,
I get good. My back gets way too sweaty and sweaty singlets are not about it. So always tucked in and singlets on if I can.
No, that's right. Now, I know the answer to this next one, but for the record, morning or evening runs?
Always morning. I've started doing a double on a Tuesday and Tuesday afternoon I do it, but don't have a good time.
No, the dial I'm hearing
you. What time are you out the door? I'm just having a look at your Strava. You were
I'm up early. Depends. Easy runs, I'll get to the gym before the easy runs. So like gym 5 to 6 runs, 6 to 7 or something. And then on session days, I'll still get up at 5 because, again, I'm an old man. So I've got to have my breakfast, have my coffee, get my body moving, do my 20 minutes of exercise and then try and, do a session, same kind of thing, 6, 6.30.
And Sundays, you'd never run at like 11.30 on a Sunday morning.
You can't get me running on you can't get me running on Sunday. That's my one rest day and I will absolutely not take part in any running on that
actually,
day.
It must have been Saturday that you did a run at 11:30.
Oh, that was, I had a wedding on the Friday, so it was a bit rough, and that was not a fun time either. But
tried to catch you out.
Generally try and get up even on a Saturday out the door 7:30. So always try and do it in the morning.
That's good. Good blue collar stuff. I know Zach silently is hating you right now because he's very much an afternoon man. So
you're a white collar.
I envy that. If I could, I would, but I just can't.
Nah, it's all good, mate. Favorite shoes?
Oh, the first shoe I fell in love with was probably the Saucony Speed 2s.
Good choice.
Oh, the first edition. Put them on. It was the first time I was like, oh shit, a shoe is more than a shoe. Like this is a nice shoe. I've got like 5 or 6 in my rotation at the moment, but the Saucony Triumph 20s for an easy day.
Really
enjoy those.
Please accept this virtual high five from me. Oh, this music. Keep talking. I'm listening.
And super shoe, mate. What's the super shoe?
Probably the standard, like 90% of the population got a pair of Alpha Flies and a pair of Vapor Flies for shorter stuff, longer stuff for there. I'm yet to use the Alpha Flies for a marathon, but I've got them. So they're the choice at the moment. Yeah.
Favorite podcast?
This one?
Yeah, good. That was. We haven't paid you to say that, but if you had to mention it's anything only one else, answer. Literally only one answer. Otherwise, this is only going to make it to air. Well done, mate. Well done. We'll pay you later.
Thank you.
Favorite Aussie runner and why? I'll let you elaborate on this one.
Oh, I can't say my coach because he doesn't run anymore, so I'm safe there.
David Swift athlete. No.
Yeah, probably Josh. Favorite. I don't understand it. I don't understand what he's putting on Strava with all the captions and power kickers and whatever it is. It looks like a bit of Mario Kart going on. Credit to him. He must be pretty decent at it by the looks of it.
Yeah.
I'd probably say Brady, actually. I think just how much he bloody loves the sport, loves running. I think he's, as he said, a self-proclaimed frother as well. So, running means a lot to him, and the way he goes about it too. I'll never get the the mileage he gets. But no, just the way he goes about it.
Well, mate, you're going to get that check. You're going to get the bank account going to be cleaned out tomorrow, and you'll be flying up the Gold Coast and the pointy end, I think.
Perfect.
Good stuff. We love that. And Brady does listen too, so he will love hearing that. No doubt he'll have it plugged into the ears on a run some stage this week. So, no, it's good. Mate, I think this is the last one I've got. So if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
God. This is another, again, I'm telling you, I'm 28, but I'm an old soul. I make my own muesli.
It's got 20
ingredients. Yes. It's toasted to perfection. I would eat that one meal a day. I'd eat that 3 to 4 meals a day if I could.
I'll tell you, we've just cleared the schedule to allocate a bit more time to this. Could you tell us what you put in your muesli, mate? Because I, for one, have a lot of interest in this.
Oh, it's an absolute process, but I'll try and keep it brief. We've got
no, elaborate, please. I'm taking notes.
We've got oats. I've got it written down. I can send it to you later. we got oats. We've got bran. We've got chopped nuts. We've got all the seeds and pepitas, chia seeds, so forth. Yes. We've got toasted coconuts. We heat up a bit of olive oil with maple syrup with a bit of vanilla extract and coconut sugar, heat that up, mix that through the big old muesli, put it on like 4 different trays, put in the oven, rotate it every 7 minutes so it doesn't burn. That probably takes 40 minutes, bang it out the oven. Once that cools, I'm adding in like cornflakes or rice bubbles and a bit of dried fruit. But
we might have to chat off here about sort of releasing this as a Run to Be Beast collab, Liam's muesli.
I'm a dietitian by trade, so it is tick approved from a dietitian. So
and if the listeners would like to purchase said muesli, mate, is there anywhere we can get a link on the Insta or something like that? Are we taking orders or it's strictly just
I can set someone up. I'll set up a bit of Patreon and
oh, mate, love it.
Sounds good. Hopefully we could get a picture on the Strava at some point.
I'll try and cue something up. That's all right. It fuels all my long runs and workouts. So must be something in it that's good.
That's the secret. They talk about the Kenyan tea, but maybe it's the the muesli. Good stuff, mate. It's been awesome to learn a bit more about your running. We've obviously been loving watching it from afar, and then to obviously hear about the work you've been putting in and getting rewarded with those PBs. And it's going to be exciting to follow on for the rest of this year, mate.
Yeah, thank you. I'll try and keep it up until Gold Coast. So that's the main focus from now until then. So. Yeah, all systems go.
You're flying up there in business class, you'd be ready.
Stay in a penthouse suite. Yeah.
Awesome, mate. We'll be up there. I think, are you going to be up there, Chris?
Yep. No, flights and accommodation booked for me. That's mate. Right. I just don't know what race I'm doing.
Didn't you book it a week early?
Yeah. May have had a little bit of a whoopsie and booked the accommodation and then booked the flights for the following week. Call was made to Jetstar and they were very polite, and then I'm pretty sure they just put us on hold and laughed.
I'm gonna say polite and Jetstar probably are not the same scent.
No, well, at least they put me on hold to laugh, but
and you get that school holiday tax when you're booking flights at the moment for Gold Coast. So
you see, the thing was, the flights that we booked were more expensive than the flights that we wanted. And then not only did we have to cancel those, but we had to pay a $250 fee to change them to the cheaper flights. So, pretty much got reamed from both ends. It's not a satisfying experience, but no, flights are booked and accommodation is, I'm probably going to run for 10K. But looking forward to getting up there and seeing a few of of the group again, because it was pretty cool last year, Zach. We caught up with it.
And I think there'll be a fair few festivities going on over the course of the weekend. So no doubt we'll catch up. Hopefully we'll catch up before then, Liam. We're not too far away. We'll have to tee up a run.
Yeah, no dramas at all.
Might need to be a morning run though.
Yeah, I get it. Get some of that muesli in beforehand.
Drop some off. That's all right.
Awesome, mate. Thank you. And yeah, we'll chat soon.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
How good was that, Chris-o, to have the great man on? I know we were pretty excited and hearing just a few things we learned on that chat from Liam.
No, it was brilliant. On by popular demand, we had a few requests for Liam to come on. Most of them were mine, but it was great to have him on. And just some really cool insights, especially given the fact he hasn't been running a super long time. It's been a couple of years and he's dabbled with a bit of footy, a bit of gym. And yeah, I mean, you know, he's a guy who's just starting out. And one thing we didn't get to touch on was, you know, he's run a, you know, sort of high 33 minutes for 10K as a solo effort on the track. So, you know, he's someone who's just started, you know, literally from not a lot to he's making some awesome progress. So it'll be really cool. And look, not just what he's done in the first couple of years of his running journey, like what's the next couple of years going to look like? I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, and it sort of stands out for me. And I guess I've probed the question around just how he's so into the running now and he's listening to podcasts and that he's involved in the community and he's at the events. And it's really cool to see because this is a guy that was just like you said, would have looked at the gym and looked at the treadmill, did a 5-minute walk and then straight on the leg day. But he's now out there just as a true runner, the way he you know, answered those questions. He was straight on to, you know, whether it was a Garmin or Coros Man and all the rest. But like, he's just absolutely entrenched in running. And that's as fans of running, that we're very happy to recruit one and have him in our midst.
No, we love that. And you can tell when he's contemplating half tights, absolutely. Yeah. He is a very valued member of the running community for sure.
Mate, bit going on over the next few weeks. We've got overseas. There's a few athletes journeying off to, we've got Boston this weekend.
Monday. Going to have a few at Boston, I believe.
London the following week.
Mm-hmm. I believe Hamburg. Is Hamburg the following week? We might have some involvement.
Yeah, there might be a Run VB coach that maybe towing the line at Hamburg. Our man, Andy Buchanan, be exciting to hear how he goes there. But yeah, a number of athletes heading over and I guess ticking a bucket list for Boston and London. And yeah, so it's going to be exciting to hear how they go. We've got a few of those athletes we're going to touch base with and get them on the show down the track. Got a partnership with the Shepparton Running Festival we're going to delve into a little bit next week. We're good chance we're going to have the race director on. We're just tying that off. But yeah, it's pretty cool. We've partnered with the Running Festival and we're offering some different programs for a variety of the events from the marathon, the half marathon, the 10 and the 5. Yeah, exciting stuff to have that partnership, obviously close to your home, mate. And we're going to obviously get a few athletes up there and yeah, it's going to be cool. That's happening in August 26th and the 27th, so over 2 days.
Running over 2 days. So yeah, it'd be really cool. Matt is the name of the gentleman who's looking after the running festival this year. I haven't actually met Matt before and it'll be the first year essentially where I guess our runners club, we've taken a step back and we've essentially given him the event and we don't really have anything to do with it. So from that perspective, I'm actually really, excited to hear what he's got in store because I'll literally be hearing it for the first time. It's pretty cool from that perspective. So very much looking forward to catching up and hearing all about that. But not only that, but also, it's all coming sort of full circle and just sort of having the run to PB involvement with something local is a bit surreal as well. So, yeah, that'd be fun.
Something you might chuck in the calendar yourself to race any of those events?
You know what? I've actually thought about it and I'm going to have a stack of athletes there. And I think this year's probably one of those years where actually I'm so keen to go along, but I want to be there to support my athletes. And I guess with all the AV stuff that I'm doing as well, I'll have races either side of that. But I really want to go along and be the best support that I can to my athletes that day, because I'm going to have a lot sort of chasing PBs and and really having a big crack on the day across the range of events. So,
maybe we can do a pacing job or something.
Yes, we'll see what condition the body's in. But yeah, there's lots of possibilities for that day. Yeah. Might even be able to get yourself up here, mate.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I have to. We'll start hatching a plan, mate, and see where it takes us.
So I know there's a few run to PB coaches in the local area, scattered, you know, to Chuka and Bendigo. Who knows? We might be able to get a few over this way and make a day of it. But looking forward to hearing about the early stages of all the planning and that from Matt. Hopefully next week.
Awesome, mate. And next week we'll be reporting back. It'll be race week for both of us.
Yes, hopefully both of us. Or I might be racing on your team, depends if I get picked or not. But yes, very much looking to resume, I guess, the unofficial rivalry next week down at Gels,
pulling
on the Bats colours and just embracing the hype of round one of AV. It was pretty electric despite the shitty weather last year.
It was brutal last year.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I know it was a couple of weeks later in the calendar, but appearances because Andy had come off the marathon at Hamburg. He was only a couple of weeks removed, but you had Stewie McSwain and Andy and Jack Rayner and Lyndon Hall and Melissa Duncan, and Liam Adams. It was a who's who of Victorian athletics, national athletics really, but to have them all in the one spot kicking around on the cross country was
rolling awesome. Around a park in Waverley. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so I know, who knows who's going to be there. We'll be keeping an eye out for any entry lists we can get our little hands on, but just looking forward to getting in there and sort of having a step back and just seeing who's getting around and having a chat, because we haven't sort of caught up face to face since December.
No, we ran. You got me out of bed.
Well, yeah, that's true. But on a start line.
I won't be chatting too much mid race if we're going next to each other. Not like at Bendigo where you tried to yell something out or clap your hand.
Mate,
something.
If I can see you, I'll be calling you. Don't worry about that. I'm
going to go soft mode and just head down and give you donuts.
At Bendigo, I actually ran past you. I was very encouraging, and then you didn't give me much when you ran back past all of 2 minutes later. But no, Cruden Farm, I was shouting out the support, sort of willing you on to flog me by even more. But look, the form you're in, if you're running 100K weeks, then I might not actually be able to get close enough to offer any encouragement. We'll see.
Looking forward to it, mate. We'll enjoy the training week and we'll catch up next week.
Should be good, mate. We'll chat soon.
See you, mate.